And welcome to Cabinet. So this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authority Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information, England Regulations 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recording is not under the Council's control. So, the first item we have is apologies, and we have apologies from Councillor Morgan, Councillor Poland, Councillor Rawlings, and Councillor Taylor. So, Cabinet members, has anybody got any disclosure of pecuniary or personal interests? No? Okay. I have no announcements. Minutes of the previous meeting, you've all had a copy of those. Is everybody happy with those? All in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. We have no questions under Cabinet Procedure Number 107. So the first item on the item 10 is the Charnwood Control of Dogs 2020 Public Service Protection Orders. So if I could invite Councillor Hunt to the table, please.
Thank you very much. So if I could just introduce the Public Spaces Protection Order for Control of Dogs.
Councillor Smidowitz, the purpose of this report is to seek approval of the notice of intention and upon expiry of the 28-day notice period to approve the public space protection order relating to the control of dogs 2020 under the provisions of the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act 2014 as it relates to Charnwood Borough Council. The Council currently has a PSPO in place, which started in January 2017, which can only last for up to 3 years unless it is extended. It is open to the Council to now extend the order for a further 3 years and also vary it. A consultation took place and a review of the feedback was undertaken on the available options, with some excellent points raised by residents. But we would prefer to extend the existing order with a few variations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's short and sweet, actually. We were enthusiastic supporters of this report. We talked about it over some length at the Commission. We were very keen, very happy to see that there have been a total response of 322 responses to this, so clearly it's also been widely distributed. That's more than double, I believe, the previous responses to consultation. So we were very happy with every aspect of this and a job well done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shane. Thank you. Members, have you, before you leave, has anybody got any questions for Jane? No? Fine.
No.
Thank you. You can go now, Jane. Yeah. So if I could ask Alan to come and do the present report, please.
Thank you. As has been outlined, this is a report before you under the Antisocial Behaviour and Crime and Policing Act to serve a notice of intention for the Public Space Protection Order for Charnwood Control of Dogs 2020. The existing Public Space Protection Order was introduced on the 7th of January 2017 and, as has been explained, will expire on the 6th of January 2020 unless it's extended by Cabinet. The four main areas within the order that the controls apply are for dog fouling, dogs on lead by direction, and dog exclusion areas. You've heard about the consultation that took place between March 2019 to May 2019, which included residents, parish and town councillors, all borough councillors, and the police and crime commissioner. In addition to the consultation, the proposal also considers, you've heard, from Scrutiny Commission and by the Loughborough Area Committee as well. You've heard from Councillor Hunt in terms of the Scrutiny Commission. In terms of the Loughborough Area Committee, I'll just outline some of the discussions that they had. They're in overall support of the public space protection order. Some members did report issues with dogs on leads, requiring dogs on leads within Queen's Park, especially near the children's play areas. However, at present, we don't want to include that at the moment because there wasn't sufficient evidence to support that. But we advise members that obviously they can report any issues, and members of the public can report issues, so we can collate that evidence so that we maybe have to include it in a future amendment of the order. The responses received also did indicate an overwhelming public aspiration to not to restrict or limit the number of dogs any per individual walks. And also the committee were very in support of protection of the wildlife, deemed to be very important, and indeed, where necessary, dogs on leave by direction will be imposed as a result of that. The main proposals for the extension and variation of the public space protection order is to maintain the existing controls for dog fouling, dogs on lead and dogs exclusion, and to include the following additional requirements. So the first additional requirement we want to add in is add the requirement for dogs on lead by direction at the following areas following evidence following evidence of dogs which are not in full control worrying wildfowl. So that's at Dishley Pool and Stonebow Washlands. A second addition is we want to add two new locations to the schedule for dog exclusion zones. This is Lilac Way Playing Fields at East Goscote, Weaver's Wind at East Goscote. A final addition we want to add into this public space protection order is to add a new location to the schedule for dogs on leads, and this is at the Peace Garden, Loughborough Road, Mount Sorrel. The notice of intention will be issued to outline the proposals in the public space protection order, and there is, as has been outlined, there is a 28-day response period for any objections. However, having looked at the since the publication of the agenda, I would like to propose a slight amendment to the notice of intention. Unfortunately, the notice of intention contained in Appendix A only includes a reference to the variation of the order and not the extension. Cabinet are therefore asked to consider the following amendment to the notice of intention. So in Appendix A, at page 19, we want to replace paragraph 1 with the following. Notice is hereby given that Charnwood Borough Council, in brackets the council, proposes for the purposes of reducing antisocial behaviour in relation to dog control to extend and vary a public spaces protection order under section 60 and 61 of the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act 2014 and of all other enabling powers. So that's the change amendment to paragraph 1. We'd also like to replace paragraph 2 with the following. The Council would like to seek your views on the proposed notice of intention to extend and vary an order. This notice outlines the details of the proposed variations to the order in red ink on page 2. Any comments and or objections should be sent in writing by email to the correspondence address below. So there are the amendments we'd like to put forward. Following the expiry of the consultation phase, the finally extended and varied order will be issued unless significant objections are received. So therefore, Cabinet are asked to approve the recommendations with the amendments proposed outlined in the report to enable the notice of intention to be issued and the current public space protection order to be extended and varied as detailed for a further 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. Has any Cabinet member got any questions?
Thank you, Deputy Leader. Yes, thank you, and I welcome this report and the proposals contained in it. Just a comment and then a question. I think that this is necessary legislation. I can remember probably one of the older people in the room here where many years ago where you walked out in the street and you were, it was littered with dog fowl in excrement, and which was quite awful to walk through often, and the impact that has on health and as well as the impact it has. But just to tell me, this has been going for about 3 years now, this order, is it? So something like 3 years. Have we had many prosecutions under this legislation or has it been sort of self-regulating?
Okay, in terms of this, the controls within this, these provisions, there are a number of sanctions that can be brought about. One is an informal warning, another is a fixed penalty notice, and ultimately prosecution. We've had considerable success in terms of fixed penalty notices, particularly for dog fouling and dogs on lead as well. And if people pay that fine, then we don't have to prosecute. So in the 3 years, we've not had to prosecute for under these provisions. We have prosecuted for dog control issues under other provisions that fall outside of this public space protection order. But we've certainly issued a considerable number of fixed penalty notices, which is noticed an improvement in those particular locations.
Just one thing from me. I would like the new cemetery at Syston off Milson Lane. I mean, I wrote in and asked for that to be added, and it is simply to be added as an, it is a brand new cemetery off Milson Lane. Would that be possible?
In the actual order itself, we have covered that, because what we do is in the notice of intention, which then goes into the order, we do specify in the schedule that all cemeteries within Charnwood are covered. So we do include that. Yeah.
A lot of public, you know, I was quite amazed that there's so many responses you've had. You had 320 responses to the consultation. I was one of those responders, and I did point that out, and that's why I was saying it. But you've covered that off. Thank you. So, Margaret, if I could ask you for a proposal.
I propose that we accept the report. Recommendations are outlined and the reasons are provided, and we've heard extra comments tonight that have added a bit more depth. So I would like you to support this these recommendations. And the amendments. Two amendments.
Yes, and I'd like to second this, and the same with the amendments, please. Thank you.
Okay, so all of those in favour? Anybody against? No, that's unanimous. Thank you. If I could ask Councillor Hunt to come back into the table. I very hastily dismissed you last time. Jane, I'm sorry. Take a seat. So, Councillor Harper-Davies, if I could ask you to introduce the report.
Laptops and mics don't really go well. So, the purpose of the report this evening is to consider the implementation of the charge for bulky waste collections in Charnwood. The purpose of this evening is for Cabinet to consider charging for collection of bulky waste. The provision of bulky waste collections is discretionary for local authorities, and many councils provide service for large waste items, and most choose to charge a fee to recover for some or all of the costs. Nationally, there are only 15 councils that don't charge, and as we know, we're one of those. Locally, only this council and Leicester City Council currently operate a free bulky waste collection. The Council in February, in our February Cabinet meeting, approved in its budget 2019-20 that we would increase its income by £30,000. This was through the implementation of charges for bulky waste collection from October of this year. Whilst this won't be seen as a popular decision, however, it's something that other councils find revenue from. There is a concern that the introduction of the charge may lead to the increase of fly tipping. This will be monitored in the report, noted 12 months, however, reviewing a 6 month of scrutiny commission suggested on Monday. This should be supported. Contrary to the suggestion of increased fly tipping, the evidence depicts a different picture. The report noted from the BBC shared data collection suggests not, but we will have to wait and see. The charge of £20 for up to three items is comparable with neighbouring councils, and an overview of these charges, for example, at least Hinckley and Bosworth's 1 to 3 items was £15, which is the cheapest, and North West 1 to 3 items, which is £24. So we're actually moderately priced in our neighbouring authorities. The alternatives of the implementation of the charge, whether continue absorbing the cost of providing the service, this is not a viable option due to general cost pressures on the council. It is also unfair to subsidise a service that is not used by all councils or make savings in other areas of the service. However, viability is an issue due to the other cost pressures on the service and the need to make additional savings to generate income further to the ones in this report. And I'll hand over to Scrutiny for their report. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. So, Jane, if I could ask you to present the Scrutiny Commission report.
Thank you very much. We had more difficulty with this report and this proposal. Scrutiny is here to provide proposals for improvement. And so hopefully we've done that in these recommendations here. Although they're listed 1, 2, 3, really we should look at them 3, 2, 1. So in terms of the third recommendation, we would recommend that subject to the above amendments that this would be acceptable in terms of the actual report itself in its entirety. So point two is that the collection, the first collection for all residents be free of charge. Now we spent quite a long time talking about this and we can understand exactly what the lead member and head of service was talking about. At the moment we have around about 20,000 collections a year and really we only have scope in the contract for 12,000 collections a year. So there's some difficulty there in that we're collecting too many objects, if you like, or there's too many visits and we need to be able to reduce that. And also that, as Councillor Harbour-Davies talked about, in the budget this year, there is a £30,000, scope for need for money here. But we wondered if this was the way to go about it. We talked about the £20 charge proposed for all collections. The difficulty that we had with that is that essentially it's quite regressive because, it doesn't matter who you are or where you live, you would be charged £20 for that collection. So we do know, we do recognise in the past that places, poorer areas that find it more difficult, you know, fewer transport options, etc., would then find perhaps an increase in rubbish here. We did talk about the BBC report from 2019 that the head of service talked about. It wasn't talked about at the meeting because I found it since, but the Jill Dando Institute in 2004 says the opposite to the BBC report, but it was 2004, admittedly. So, we felt that the £20 charge for all collections would be a difficult thing for some people to deal with, given their budget pressures of their own family incomes, etc. But we then talked about, in particular, several options, but the North West Leicestershire option in particular, where that showed that North West Leicestershire, they charge slightly more for their collections, but anybody who's on benefits has 100% concession. Now, that isn't possible with the point that we talk about in point four at the bottom of page five. That we talked about means-tested charging, but it's too labour-intensive. So in terms of being able to understand exactly if somebody's had one free collection or two free collections, it was too difficult to then go through the process and will probably cost more than we would gain in charging. So that said, we then talked about having one free collection for all residents free of charge, so that that way then those people who are unable to pay the £20 would at least have one option per year to have a collection free of charge. So that's recommendation two. And then recommendation one, I would just say thank you very much indeed for considering that and agreeing to a six-month review. We thought that was necessary to understand exactly where we are and to see other things that would back this up. We also talked about, and that could be happening within the 6 months, things like really, really promoting organisations such as, then this is not exhaustive, SOFA locally, the British Heart Foundation, Age UK, who could perhaps take away some of these furniture options and that kind of thing well before they got anywhere to us, in which case we could perhaps reduce down from 20,000 collections a year in any event without anybody being charged. So, sorry, that's a bit long-winded, but it was one that we thought about for a long time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Now, has Cabinet got any questions of clarity that they would like to ask Councillor Hunt? Anybody? Margaret.
Thank you, Jane. Where you were talking about folk on benefit and the difficulties of claiming and so on, I do have concerns because some of the major areas that have to be cleaned frequently are houses of multiple occupation. And we have the sort of bring out the dead at the end of the year. And it's often more than once to the same household where you particularly get short-term leases and so on. And we've come across an awful lot of landlords who clear out the houses, put new kitchens in, and it's left on the pavements and so on. And I just wonder how where there are frequent opportunities to charge, we may not be charging. So I'm just wondering where they come in, because obviously we are a market town, a small town with a large number of students in a small place who won't have vehicles, many of them will, but possibly won't be dumping out in the fields. I'm just sort of wondering how it sort of links with the landlord charges and fees. Will they be having it free? Is basically what I'm asking.
Thank you very much, Councillor Smidowitz. I actually don't know the answer to your question about the charging. All I would say is I remember the student rubbish at the end of term, or rather landlord's rubbish, I suppose, as well, at the end of term, before we used to do the special deal with Serco, where we'd go round on the Saturday. And it was far worse than... it's fantastic now in comparison. So that was the only comment I would make. Perhaps you ought to ask the head of service when he comes to the table on that particular point. If I may just add, again, this didn't come up at the committee because since then I've been to Corn Parish Council meeting and referred to this. And Councillor Chatburn at Corn Parish Council has told me about a similar kind of... It's a bit like the student scenario in Sydney in Australia. Apparently twice a year, people are allowed to leave things at the end of their drive. Everybody knows it's that particular day. And for one day, you can go around and pick up other people's furniture if you'd like to and that kind of thing. And then the day after, their version of Serco goes and collects the rest of it that's left. And that happens twice a year. Maybe that's something we could think about. But I'm afraid that didn't come up at the commission. I'm ad-libbing here. Thank you.
Paul.
Yes, Jane. One of the reasons a lot of councils haven't gone for the one free collection per year is because it's very easy to abuse it. If you say one per year, you could have one on the 30th of March and then one on the 1st of April because it's two different years, so you've got two. And then if you've got more than two items, you ask your neighbour if they'll take one as well. So it's something that's very, very easy to abuse. And that's one of the main reason why It was rejected by a lot of other councils that have considered it. So how would you envisage that actually working and not being abused?
Well, if I could be slightly political here, we as the Conservatives actually brought this in our 2007 manifesto, and I know that because I wrote the manifesto. So we did bring it in. What I would say is, does it matter if somebody gives you one piece of furniture on the 31st of March and one piece on the 1st of April? That does mean that all the year previously they haven't been able to give you a piece of furniture, and all for the rest of the next year they've not been able to. And it's not just furniture as well, of course. But it doesn't matter that it's the 31st and the 1st in my book. It's still one a year. The abuse about, borrowing a neighbour's or what have you, well, as long as they then don't make a request themselves, because obviously they can't the following within that year. So as long as they're accepting of that, then it's still one piece that's going from I'm not saying this very well, but you know what I mean. It's only one piece to us. It doesn't actually matter where it's going from, as long as we then know, well, Joe Bloggs at number 12 and Mrs. Smith at number 10 both can't have another one this year.
Thank you, Jane. Any more questions? Okay, right. Well, thank you, Jane. Obviously, a lot of thought's gone into that, and hopefully Cabinet will give it consideration. I certainly have. I would ask now, thank you, Jane, thanks very much. So if I could invite Matthew Bradford to come and present the report.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add a little bit from Councillor Harper Davies's introduction, if I may. The increase in revenue from bulky waste collections was something that was agreed by the Council's budget setting process back in February, and that was one of the main considerations in coming up with the recommendations that we've got here. The recommendations that have been made in the report are designed to meet the income levels set in that budget by proposing a £20 charge for the collection of 1 to 3 items from the 7th of October 2019. We anticipate that we'd be able to meet those budget levels that have been set. This charge for £20 for 3 items is at the lower end of the scale for charges made by other local authorities providing this service, both in the area and nationally. There have been some comments made on the proposals about the potential for fly tipping increasing. Evidence suggests that there's no correlation between the bulky waste charge levels and the level of fly tipping, and that was concluded in a report that was done in January of this year. Just an interesting note, really, that for 10% of the bookings that we take, we do a visit to the property to collect the items from the agreed location, and they're not there. So there is quite a high potential for perhaps people to request the service. As it's free, there's no consequence, really, if the items aren't there when we go, but we have incurred expense in getting there. And, you know, we've made an environmental pledge as well to reduce our carbon emissions, and that's, potentially 2,000 wasted journeys there per annum. As well as raising the revenue that was stated in the budget, there were two additional objectives, really, in this report. And the first one was bringing the volumes back to within agreed contract levels. The current volumes of bulky waste collections per annum are over 6 times higher than our nearest, the next highest one in Leicestershire. So that goes to show that the demand, the current demand on the service, and how high it is compared to other authorities in the area. And we also hope to simplify the existing process, allowing customers to self-serve on the website and reduce manual processes in the back office. And the proposed scheme through the recommendations would do that. The Scrutiny Commission kindly considered the report on Monday and their proposal of one free collection per household per year. I fear would put the agreed income that we've agreed to raise at risk. It may not significantly reduce the contract volumes and would not simplify the existing manual back office processing, where we have to check how many collections a customer has had in that 12-month period. I think we need to bear in mind that every working day we get between 80 and 100 requests for bulky waste collections, and that is quite intensive, labour-intensive, resource-intensive to do that. Having concessions was also considered when putting the report together, and this was ruled out due to the complexities of means testing residents for what is essentially what we're proposing to be quite a low-cost service when compared to other councils. Scrutiny Commission also recommended a review be conducted 6 months after implementation, and having discussed that with the lead member, we're more than happy with that. And as part of our booking process for bulky waste collections, we do promote on the website, the very top of the webpage, it does ask residents to consider how they're getting rid of their bulky waste items, and we suggest charitable donations, advertising them on FreeCycle or other websites where people can give them away or swap things, or selling via selling websites. There's a suggestion made that this could be enhanced, and our promotion of this, these services could be improved, and I'm quite happy to take that on board as well and get that implemented within the next 6 months. I'm happy to take any questions from members.
Thank you, Matthew. So, Cabinet members, anybody got any questions?
Could I just say that having looked at some of the evidence myself, I think you're right in saying that there's no evidence that it results in more fly tipping outside city areas, but certainly there seems to be some evidence that in big cities it does result in fly tipping, which is obviously not a problem in Loughborough, which is perhaps the reason why I think both Nottingham and Leicester have not gone down this route. What I'd like to ask, though, is that quite a few councils have a sliding scale, whereby if you want, say, one to three items, it's one price, and more items, it comes down a bit. Is there any reason why we didn't look at that possibility? And also, some offer a discount if it's booked online, which obviously makes sense in terms of saving the amount of effort put into the administration.
Thank you, Councillor Mercer. We felt that keeping the price the same and having multiples of £20 for 4 to 6 items and so on would it simplifies our back office processes really, and it's quite an easy charging scale for residents to understand. So that is the reason why we went with the single price that multiplies with the number of items that we collect. Having a discount for online booking was something that I must admit we hadn't looked at, but the whole way through this from the start we were looking to have quite a transparent and easy to understand charging structure, both for residents and for the council to implement its systems that make it easy for us to administer, cutting down on our implementation costs, really. I think that's probably all I could say on that at the moment.
Paul, go on.
So I just wanted to add, I think it's we should do all we can possibly to promote particularly FreeCycle, and at the moment it's just a link on the website. It doesn't actually explain what it is and what it does. And if there's any opportunities of pushing that in the literature, it's a small cost for a huge saving if people can see the advantage of using that service.
Thank you, Paul. Councillor Smilovic.
Thank you. You may recall that I'd been to see you with a complaint that a resident had made to me, but it wasn't our problem. It was actually Leicestershire County Council who ran the local tip and charged, and they were horror-struck at what they had to pay for the waste to be put there. So I was just thinking as you were talking, I don't know whether our waste collection, as in the site where you take your waste, if you took a chair there, for example, I don't know if they would charge for a chair as they do a bag of rubble. I don't know. But I suppose the difference is Leicestershire County Council will take the money for the charges on our tip. Will we retain the £20 here, or has that got to go as a part to Leicestershire as its waste?
Thank you, Councillor Smidovitz. The collection charge is a charge for the collection, so we would retain the income that was derived from providing the service. I think if someone visits a household waste site, there are charges for some type of items that residents can take in. That's mainly construction type waste, and your household furniture, electrical items and things like that are free to dispose of at those sites. So the items that are similar to those that we collect through the bulky waste service are free to dispose of at the household waste sites.
Got one. Matthew, I don't know whether you've got any sort of indication. What level of commercial fly tipping is there in the borough, and how does that compare? And in your own personal opinion, do you think people will be tempted to fly tip by a charge of £20?
I think the level of fly tipping in Charnwood is about 50-50. There's a 50-50 split between commercial and household items. Obviously, those household items may not be tipped by the householder, so they might be someone providing a rogue trader providing a house clearing service, but they are household items by description. Personally, I think the vast majority of residents in the borough are responsible, and they won't be put off by disposing their waste in a responsible way by a £20 charge. So I would like to think that fly tipping levels would remain at a similar level to the level that they are now. But I think we have to also take into consideration that both locally and nationally, fly tipping is on an upward trend anyway. So any review would need to take that into account and look at the trend going forward based on historical evidence, and any increase in fly tipping might not necessarily be attributed to the introduction of this charge.
Councillor Harper-Davies.
Matthew, if there is a situation where someone is in hardship, severe financial hardship, and you can't actually get, you know, to pay the £20, what would your viewpoint be on that, please?
If there were genuine cases where a resident was in an exceptional hardship situation, then there could be, if members were minded to do that, something where the resident could write to the council, and each case would be considered on a case by case basis, but it would be on the grounds of exceptional hardship. I think, and that way, perhaps if there were really genuine cases where someone had exhausted all their options of disposing of their bulky items and genuinely couldn't afford to access the service, then we may be able to help them out by waiving the charge. But I wouldn't think that we'd want to do that in high volumes.
Thank you. I think sort of one final comment. I think there's a real drive for climate change, for protecting our environment, and I think people are becoming much more aware of that, and I would certainly hope that fly tipping isn't going to go up, but you're indicating it is, which I find surprising because most people are quite responsible. But thank you very much, Matthew, for that presentation. Councillor Boker.
Two things, really. One is to re-emphasise what was just discussed, which, you know, even out in the wolds, I can think of a lady who is on housing benefit and struggles to make ends meet. She doesn't run a car because she can't afford to run a car. And, you know, £20 out of her money per week would be quite a lot to come and collect, say, her cooker that's broken or whatever. So I would like to see a scheme whereby people could write in and ask for that £20 to be waived. And I also think my second point on the promotion of this is that we need to educate residents still, I think, on how they can get rid of recyclable stuff. Especially recycle schemes that are free, but also to charities. You know, if you want to get rid of your old sofa in Loughborough will come and get it. I'm fairly sure it's free, sofa. Yeah, but people don't realise this. So I think in your promotion of this, I think you need to take the opportunity to educate our residents on all the avenues they can use to get rid of their, not only their bulky waste, but other recyclable waste. And in essence, all we're doing is that after all of that, if they really want the council to come and collect it, because they could take it to the tip themselves, is that they are now going to be charged for that collection because there are no councils in this country now that can afford to just, as demonstrated in your report, to go round picking up all this stuff for people for free. Even AO, etc., if you buy a new cooker from them, they will charge you £15 to take your old one away. And the same with Currys. I think Currys is actually more now. So I just think we need to educate our residents in all the avenues that they can use. And then the final option is if they want it picked up by the council that we are going to have to charge for it.
Thank you, Councillor Boker. Any more questions? Well, I think we've had a fairly good discussion on that. I think there's some very good points raised by scrutiny. I don't know what your final recommendation will be, Councillor Harper-Davis, but I think given the fact that we've discussed that we need to have a look at this again in 6 months probably, that there's an option to promote alternative ways of getting rid of some of the unwanted goods, and also the fact that we are prepared to consider extreme hardship cases. Over to you for a recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. I totally agree with that. And I think looking at our current website, there's a lot more we could do. We've already discussed a media campaign leading up to the charges if they are implemented in October. We've already discussed, and I think there's lots more we can do from a media point of view and on our website as well. I can think of quite a lot of Age UK, as Councillor Hunt alluded to. There's lots and lots of upcycle, companies now, and then other people will get the benefit of that as well. So it's not only, finding a home for a fridge or whatever, it will save people paying out for themselves. So without further ado, I don't know whether we have to have the amendments of a media campaign or the report is the report, other than the change in time to review, which would be from 12 months down to 6. We just need to word that for Laura, unless Laura, you're okay with that. Yeah. So I'll read the recommendations out. and then the reasons. So the recommendation that a charge of all household bulky waste collections covered within the environmental service contract for October 2019 is approved and to be reviewed with a change from 12 months to 6 months. And two, that the charge of £20 per bulky collection, which is up to 3 items as the per collection, is agreed, and there will be no limit on the number of collections any the household can have per year. And the reasons are to ensure that some of the contract costs are offset by the income generated while the total number of collections remain within the contract arrangements, and to enable how to charge the operating practice to be assessed, and to ensure that the charge is in line with regional and national levels.
One is about promotion. Have we put that in, promotion of the alternative service? All right, thank you.
Have we also put
So the amendments are, one is the severe fine on actual hardship, and two, the media campaign, and to extend our website as it stands.
It would cost, but is it possible to have some sort of leaflet that goes to each residence?
Matthew.
Letter, which is a leaflet that already goes to every Charnwood resident, and we could put an article in there to do that.
Be happy to do that.
So just for the sake of clarity, Chair, recommendation one is, as in the printed report, with the amendment from 12 months to 6 months. Recommendation two is as printed. Recommendation three is that the arrangements for alternative methods of disposal of bulky waste be promoted and advertised widely by the council for the reason to make residents aware of the alternatives. And recommendation four is that in cases of extreme hardship, the ability to waive the charge will be introduced.
And a Charnwood News article.
Well, I'm covering Charnwood News in number three.
Okay, then.
If that's broad enough,
yep,
Chair.
Sorry, can I just add to recommendation four that anyone that phones in and
they say that, oh, I can't afford the £20, then they're immediately directed to how they can ask for that to be waived. But it and emphasise that it's only in extreme hardship.
Monitoring officer.
Thank you, Chair. Could I just suggest in relation to recommendation four that what Cabinet do is agree to give the, what's your job title, Matt? Head of Cleansing and Open Spaces, delegated authority to introduce a scheme for waiving charges in cases of exceptional hardship, and the details of that scheme are to be agreed in consultation with the lead member.
Happy with that? Is the rest of Cabinet happy with that?
Yeah.
All right. So are you prepared to propose those? Yeah. And can I have a seconder? All those in favour? Is there anybody against? Okay. Thank you. I'd like to thank Jane and the Scrutiny Commission for their work, because it certainly has produced a long debate here and given us a lot of food for thought. And, of course, it will be coming back in 6 months, and we'll see exactly what happens then. And in the light of that, we may change things. Right, so I will apologise in advance, because the next 5 items are mine. So you just have to listen to me. So that the next item is the Revenue Fund Outturn Report, which is the report on our performance to the year ending 31st of March 2019, You will see that we came in under budget, and that is for a variety of reasons which are outlined in the report. In honesty, we are closer to budget this year than we have been for some time. There is a number of points within the report which show both pluses and minuses. Some of the directorates underspent, others overspent. There are reasons for all of those, but I would emphasise the point that, you know, I appeared before the Corporate Services Scrutiny Commission, and I think it was a very valuable exercise, because really what we did come to the conclusion is that we do want our medium-term financial strategy to be very realistic. We also need our budget setting to be clearer, insofar as that the various heads of the departments and directorates need to take responsibility and really take this. I think we provide excellent services, but sometimes I think we could give more concentration to actually achieving the targets. Some of the major ones here is the underspends of £430,000 on private sector housing. Now, there are reasons for that, and we're earmarking a lot of that money to meet future need. Planning and regeneration, overspends of £371,000, which is 29% of the budget, and this is due to a shortfall of £100,000 in building control fees and a shortfall in planning fees of £363,000, offset by underspends, to bring it down to £371,000 worth of overspends. But what I would say, again, I think it's a timing issue. And in fairness, I believe there are fees which they were expected to come in March, which didn't, but probably will come in July, which will write that. But nevertheless, it is a question of getting the timing right. In waste, we have, as you will well be aware, we lost £500,000 worth of credits from Leicestershire County Council. This has come in. We introduced the green bin charges, and that has brought the income up to a certain extent to mitigate that. We've had managed savings, salary budgets of £253,000 saved. Our reserves and our housing revenue account look strong. We've got the minimum of £110,000 that we need. We have borrowing of £78 million. We have a housing financing reserve, which we're building up to meet the repayments. As you'll be aware, we've funded this money at some of the lowest interest rates available over the last 300 years. But nevertheless, we still do have to repay it. We can't run away and pretend we can just keep borrowing forever, because we all know where that leads. And we're in a strong position financially. We have requests for various carry forwards, which are outlined in the report, but I, like I'm sure all members, want to make sure that we get our budgets right. There are variations, but this is a good report. We are sound. One of the things that I will say is that we did get some funding, extra funding, Section 31 funding of £1.2 million from the government, but before we get too excited about that, we've got £800,000 worth of liabilities that we need to offset against that, and we're going to create a reserve. So the net effect is substantially less. Our end-of-year reserves are about £10.7 million. General working balances are about £6 million, which is well above the £2 million we need. We know that the Fairer Funding Review was due to come through this year. That is unlikely to happen. We are going to see continued reductions in funding levels, but you know, let's not underestimate what we've done, the amount of money that we've lost in government grants and everything over the years, and we've still maintained excellent services is really quite admirable. And it's hard work, and I used to have a full head of hair, and none of it was grey, but that's changed. Right, so I will now ask Strategic Director Simon Jackson to add anything he wants to.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. I think that's covered most of the main points in the report. If there's any questions, maybe I'll try and pick those up. Just the only thing to draw to your attention is that in recommendation two, if the wording could be slightly amended to change at the end of that recommendation or two to say as detailed in paragraph 28 rather than in paragraphs 32 and 33, which don't actually exist. So it's actually paragraph 28, if that recommendation could be amended, please.
All right, members, anybody got any questions or queries? If that's the case, then... Oh, sorry, Councillor Vardy.
Yes, it's only... you know, it amazes me, and I think I've said this before, how in these difficult times our officers manage to prepare things in a way that I understand. And that, and it's not always easy that with me, as somebody who's always had an accountant, but it's prepared in a way that I understand, and that anybody reading this would understand where we are, why we're there, and where we're going to. And it's not easy. It's a skill, and I congratulate all the officers for preparing for this way.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. That's those kind words. I think it's very true. I think we've still got work to do, but thank you. Any other questions or queries? No. So I would put forward recommendations 1 and 2 with the alteration made that as detailed in paragraph 28 rather than 32 and 33 for the reasons 1 and 2 outlined on page 48 of the report. If I could have a seconder.
Yes, I support this recommendation and happy to second it.
Thank you. Can I see all those in favour? Thank you. Anybody against? That's unanimous. Thank you. So the next report is the Capital Plan Outturn report. Again, this is our summary of what happened last year at the end of the year. Now, we've struggled with the capital plan. We've made amendments during the year. We increased it by 1.9 million. And we've actually come in underspent by a million. You can see the request of the carry forward in there. We spent 83% of the general fund budget. 74% of the budget, compared with 71% before. The HRA expenditure was 89% compared to 86%. There have been various amendments throughout the year and they are added in there. There are significant amounts of money, and this isn't an excuse, which are not controlled by us. Section 106 monies, Hallam Fields Community Centre of Birstall with 326,000 contributions towards the cemetery in Syston of 59.4. There are other schemes where, like the Beehive Lane car park, where we haven't carried them out. Now, that isn't through a lack of willingness. It's actually because we haven't been able to get a contractor to fulfil the contract within the given timescale. But I think what I would say to you is that you can now see where the major financing comes from. That's outlined on page 64. Going forward, I think we need to be a lot sharper with our timing and when we put things into the capital plan. And we do. We've received, it's come before the audit committee, and rightly they've pointed out, the error of our ways in some times. But none of the money has been misappropriated. The schemes that are within the capital plan will be carried forward that haven't been carried out. The majority of them are carried forward into the next year. We have learned lessons. I really don't think there's an awful lot more I can add, but I will ask Simon Jackson if he wants to add anything else to it.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Barclay. I think the only thing I would say is there are some lessons to be learned from this. I think it's a mix of potentially project management. I think there's some presentational things we can do to make it clearer, the differentiation between the capital plan that we actually manage directly and also the capital plan where we are the stewards of the finances, but we don't actually have much influence over the project. I think we're looking at, as a team and as a team of officers, we're certainly looking at the reporting and the way this is managed. There will be lessons learned, but I do hope that we will make progress in the future year. But happy to take questions. Hopefully, you'll appreciate. I don't necessarily know all the detail of all the individual schemes, if there are any such questions.
So, members, has anybody got any questions they'd like to ask about the capital plan outturn? No. I think I've sort of lived with this, and in honesty, I think there are lessons to be learned, and we will take it up. And I think the Corporate Services Scrutiny Committee and the Audit Committee have done well in bringing them to our attention, and we need the heads of service to concentrate on getting their capital bids right and timed right. So, with no further ado, I will make recommendations 1 and 2 on page 60 for the reasons 1 and 2 on page 60. So if I could have a seconder for that.
Yes, thank you, Deputy Leader. Yes, sir, it's a necessary housekeeping paper, and I am pleased to second it.
Thank you. And can I see all those in favour? Is there anybody against? No, that's unanimous. Thank you. Next item is additions to the annual procurement plan. If I could invite David Hawkins to come forward to the table. As you will all know, that we have a procurement plan that is put out before the full year is, in other words, we do it before the year starts, and all the contracts we know we put out, they're split between those of 25 to 75, between 75 and 500,000. This is a report that brings forward the additions that are required, and they are outlined on pages 72 and 73 and 74. The way that we procure contracts is under the supervision of David Hawkins, how heads of service and the level of authority they have and the way that they procure them is subject to supervision from David. And so far, we've kept it. It's quite a skill. Procurement is not easy, and it always worries me when we get councillors saying they want to meddle in it. So over to David.
Just before you do that, Chair, you're actually not quorate in the room at the moment, so
who's gone?
I suggest you just
all right. We'll just hang on for a
wait minute. For